Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, a podcast dedicated to offering a growth mindset platform for us entrepreneurs, where we discuss everything from business, mindset, to life in general. I'm your host, Catherine Polsonelli, a business organizing powerhouse, personal development strategist, and owner of Agent Services Plus, a company focused on helping entrepreneurs just like you build, grow, and be courageous in their business. I'm so excited to have you with us today. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage and get ready to have some amazing conversations and fantastic takeaways. Let's jump right in. So today I have Miss Gogo Bethke, if I'm saying that correctly.
You did.
Good. And I'm so excited to have you here. So thank you so much for taking the time to be a part of my podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Sorry that I don't have makeup or any jewelry or, you know. I do have a bra.
Hey, all natural. Okay. At least we made it to the bra. I'm totally
Yeah, exactly.
So tell us a little bit about you and kind of how you got into your business. And you have several that you run, which I think is absolutely amazing. But
well, in 2011, I got licensed in real estate and, you know, I watched HGTV and I thought, how hard can it be? So I became a realtor like the rest of us, right? I mean, real estate is hard, right? It's very cutthroat. It's you kind of have to figure out a way to make a name for yourself in the industry. Yeah. And I really didn't have anything going for me. My name is impossible to pronounce. I have an accent. I have no sphere of influence. I had no money. I was in no business of being in business, right? Because I couldn't afford any lead generation service. So I kind of figured out where the strangers that are going to buy houses for me, where they at. And in my case, they were on social media. Mm-hmm. So I figured out, well, that's where I'm going to find them. So I did Gogo's Real Estate on Facebook, and that's how it started. And fast forward now 11 years, I've been a top producer since third or fourth year of my real estate business and a top agent attractor here at the EXP. And I just kind of won't stop, right? So it's one thing after another. Today, they call me the social media queen of real estate. I was also nominated top 125 most influential people in the US in 2022 alongside Tony Robbins and Grant Cardone. And to me, that's probably one of my biggest achievements ever. And I mean, we can dig deeper if you like. I don't even know how many companies, but I'll show you the set up over there without hopefully dumping my right there. Those are all of my LLCs, right? So it's like, one day at a time. Let's talk about them all.
I absolutely love it. Now tell me how, when you got into social media, especially coming from another country, did you have a lot of knowledge of it, or how did that work for you? Because I feel like for a lot of people, unless, you know, you're the younger generation, that it just kind of like happens for you. Social media tends to be almost like a burden for a lot of people, in my personal opinion.
So, for the younger generation, you said?
For the younger generation, it's natural for...
Natural, yeah. Okay. I was like, I thought you said it's a burden to the younger generation. I was like, ooh, what are
those? Oh, no. No, my teenagers whip me in this stuff all the time. And they're like, Mom, you know, you did that wrong. And I'm like, well...
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing, right? I don't know. I mean, it was kind of out of necessity, right? Because I didn't have anything else that I could afford, really. Mm-hmm. That was the problem, or that I was willing to do. So when I got into real estate, I knocked on the top producers' offices. And I'm like, hey, how do you do what you do? And how did you get to where you're at, right? Mm-hmm. And pretty much all said the same thing. They buy Zillow leads, or they're a Zillow agent, or they door knock, or they're farming area with postcards, 800 postcards, you know, four times a month, or they cold call. I guess. And I was like, I'm not doing it. I'm not stopping by at someone's house. I'm 5'2" little blondie. Not happening. Stranger danger. I get chewed by their dog. I'm not doing it. Right? And then the cold calling, I was like, I am not begging someone for their business. I just can't. It's against my religion, right? Plus I have an accent. So it's like, it feels and sounds like a wrong 1-800 number, right? And then the farming, I was like, I couldn't afford it. Not only that I couldn't afford it, but I don't do things that I find stupid. And excuse me, everybody that's farming, if you're very successful at it, I'm very happy for you. But the way I looked at postcards, I'm like, what do I do when I get a postcard?
Yeah.
Right into the trash. Right? So I was like, if I do that, then why would I expect that somebody else would hold onto my postcard? Right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, that's not for me, nor could I afford it. Right? Because sending out postcards...
Farming gets expensive.
It's expensive, right? And then the last one was Zillow leads. And I'm like, I can't afford to be buying $5,000 leads a month, right? I just wanted to make $5,000. So some of the things weren't for me. Some of the things was not an option because I couldn't afford it, right? And so that left me with social media. And it's not like I was really good at it, but I kind of had to be good at it anyway, because I'm from Romania originally and my whole family is back home, right? So I'm like, I needed to be good at social media because that's how I see my childhood friends getting married, having kids, going on vacation, you know, all of that stuff, and my family at home and my sister and her kids and all that. So that's how we communicate. So social media was a part of my everyday life because it had to be. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would miss out seeing, you know, what's happening in their lives. And I just kind of figured out the business version of that. The business version of social media is different than the everyday personal version, but it's not so different that you can't figure it out. Mm-hmm. Right? You just have to spend some time on it, push the buttons, and see what happens when you push it.
I've done that so many times. My sister actually called me one time. I was like, hey, you posted this 3 different times in 2 areas. And I was like, ah, crap.
Exactly. Hey, I'm working really hard. I just want to make sure you see it.
I just wanted to make sure. That's all it was. So now, it's interesting that you said that there's a difference between social media when you use it for like your family and friends and the business side of it. I don't think a lot of people understand the difference between the two. Would you mind elaborating a little bit more on that?
Yeah. So I don't do business and personal. So I like to say it this way. If you don't take your business seriously, nobody will. Right. So if you don't take it serious enough to have a business page for your business and do business on your business page so people can follow you there if they want to. Rule number one. Rule number two, in my opinion, plus you have to have your brand. Right. So I'm doing Vina Bethke as an everyday person, but I'm Gogo's Real Estate everywhere else. And that's how the world knows me is Gogo's Real Estate. Right. Mm-hmm. Or Gogo Bethke. And that's rule number one. Rule number two is I felt like when my childhood friends decided to Facebook follow me, right. Mm-hmm. They could care less about the Pinckney, Michigan real estate market. Like, could care less. They're in Romania, right? Yeah. I'm not going to shove down what I decided to be for a career down on my friend's throat because that's not what they signed up for. They signed up to be my friend on Facebook, right? So I do not mix business with personal. I do everything business on my Gogo's Real Estate business page, right? And I do everything personal. That's where my kids grow up. That's where we go on family vacation. That's where we lock each other out of the car and make each other dance in order to get back in, right? Like that's where our family stuff and life stuff happening. So that, I think that's rule number one is to take your business seriously enough where you actually have a business page for it and not a whatever.
Mixing the two.
Your business and personal. Makes and then sense. The people that want to follow and support your business as your friends, right? Because your friends will, they're just going to migrate over and follow you on your business page. So anything business happens on your business page. Anything personal happens on your personal.
Mm-hmm. I love that because I don't feel like a lot of people that are even teaching social media teach that. Like I've been in several classes and I almost feel like they go the opposite direction. And it's like, oh, well, don't worry about having the business page. Like you can have it, but you should be, you know.
Okay, answer me this question. How are you going to ever run an ad?
An ad
from your personal.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yes, you can't. Also, why would you limit yourself to 5,000 followers? Because that's all you can have on a personal. I would have been out of followers 7 years ago. Right. So if you have intentions to growing your business as a business, then you need to have a business page.
I love that. I really do. I agree with that. I've just never heard that perspective. So I really thank you for that one. Cause I feel like a lot of us in the industry, everybody goes the opposite direction and the followers and things like that. That is a huge issue.
And you're not going to have analytics. So you're not going to know who's your target audience. You're not going to know where they're from, what time of the day they log in. So if you're promoting something like an event on a Tuesday, you don't know, should you promote it on a Sunday or should you promote it on a Tuesday? Which one is the most high traffic day, right? Or time of the day? You're not going to know that on a personal page. You have to have analytics to be able to understand the backside of your business.
Makes total sense. Now, I know that during the ExpCon, I got the privilege of sitting through two of your different things that you were teaching.
You got it on time then.
I love every minute of it.
Yeah, so many didn't make it into the room. They had to call me a fire marshal. And they locked people out. They could not. They said the line was like around the hall.
Oh no! Yeah, I snuck in. I was before, and it was packed. But I love your authenticity and the realism that you provide when you have the conversations with people, which is one of the reasons I really wanted the chance to talk with you too. Because you talked about when you have your social media platforms, that you should focus on the one and have something that pushes it out to all the others. And I feel like, again, that's something else that a lot of people fail at, because they're like, oh, I should be here and I should be there. And they try to keep up with all of it. So what would be your suggestion, just for the readers and for people that did not get a chance to be a part of it? Would you suggest in regards to having a platform or several platforms and putting your image out there?
I mean, in my opinion, you have to be everywhere, right? Like if you Google me, I'm on Google, I'm on TikTok, I'm on YouTube, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on name it, I'm there, right? But I'm just not the one, LinkedIn, I'm just not the one pushing it through to all of those platforms, right? So you're going to find which one you feel home at. Some people's home platform is Instagram or Facebook or TikTok, right? Whatever you feel comfortable to post and create, use that platform and then hire a virtual assistant who then pushes it everywhere else. So that's what I do. My home is Instagram, and that's the only place that I personally actually answer messages. Everywhere else, I have virtual assistant answering messages as well. So I make every single post, I make myself, right? I go in there, I share my thought, I share a picture, I share something, right? And then from when I made my post, from there, my assistant, my social media assistant, Karen, takes it and posts it on all of the other platforms. So she puts it on the YouTubes, the Instagrams, the Facebooks, the LinkedIn, the Facebook groups. We have different Facebook groups, right? So pretty much everything that I do it on Instagram. That's my home hub. And from there, I have a virtual assistant and she takes it and plasters it everywhere. So to answer your question in a roundabout way, you have to be on all platforms, in my opinion. You just don't have to be the one doing it all.
I love that. Now, what would you say for people that are, let's say, newer in the business? Because I know that this is a huge thing for, and I know you've experienced this too, we don't have a lot of money. How would you suggest that in regards to possibly hiring out to help with something like that early on in your business?
So do you go to a coffee shop?
Yes.
How many times do you go to a coffee shop in a week?
Oh, I think for me, it's probably like 2-3 times a week, tops.
How much is a bill every time you go there?
Probably at least $5 each time.
So that's $15 a week that you spend, right? How much do you think a virtual assistant costs an hour?
One, the months that I've looked into are between $4 and $6, from my understanding.
Yeah. $4 to $6 an hour. Perfect. So let's say it's $4 an hour or $5 an hour, right? Let's say it's $5 an hour. How, that gives you 3 hours of work in a week, correct?
Yeah.
There's 40 hours in a week. You could get 10 other agents pretty much. And get a VA together, a full-time VA, right?
Okay.
Or get 5 agent friends, right? And get a part-time VA who works 4 hours a day. You're going to get that VA for an hour a day. That's going to cost you $20 a month.
Okay. Didn't think about it that way. I don't know why I didn't think about adding other people to the puzzle to, to shrink the bill. I know that that's something.
And it would be with. What 20 not a month. It would be $20 a week if you get. I did one hour a day. $20 a week.
What time are you going to be off of Wi-Fi? Is it all today?
Because I'm. Oh, you have to look at my calendar, and I'm on a podcast right now live. So back to that, you're going to spend about $20 a week. Have someone. So you think you make a post, how long do you think it's going to take that VA to take that post and plaster it to 5 other platforms? All they need to do is copy and paste.
Maybe 5 minutes, I would think.
There you go. So that person still has 55 more minutes to spend on your accounts, to respond to DMs, to share a story, to find something on your behalf, to post, to reach out to agents, to reach out to clients, to somebody liking your post that you made. You're like, oh my gosh, are you looking at a 3-bedroom, 2-bath? Because I would love to help you. Catherine would love to help.
I love that. I guess I haven't thought about that. So
if you can't afford a $20 a week, then maybe you should skip that coffee shop.
Very true. Very true. You can make coffee at home. We're just spoiled. Very spoiled. So
it's about your priorities, like which one is more important. If truly comes down to money and you so said you can't afford it, then you have to cut back in other places so that you can grow your business. Because what's the definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
There you go.
So let me switch.
Your priority is that you rather spend, you think you don't have the money to hire a VA, but you somehow have money for coffee. It's your priorities that are not in order. It's not the money.
Yeah. No, it makes sense because I do the same thing when it comes to my kids.
Most, Yeah. And that's how most people look at it. They look at it that the virtual assistant would be an expense. You have to look at it that in that hour, if that virtual assistant takes them 5 minutes to take your post a day, right? And plaster it into the five different platforms, what are the chances? And they still have 55 minutes now to reach out to people, right? So let's say they, in the 55 minutes, they reach out to three people that just followed your profile, right? And they're like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for following my business page. If there's anything I can do for you in the real estate world, please don't hesitate by any chance. Are you on the market for a new home or ready to sell? Or if mm-hmm. you know anyone that wants to earn their business. What if they send that message to every single person who follows your account? What are the chances that in a month you're going to get one lead? One, just one.
Yeah.
What's an average commission for you?
Average commission? For us here, I mean, and I'm in Tennessee, 3%. So you're looking at 12,000.
Okay. You should have that number, by the way, from the top of your heart. 12,000. Your VA is going to cost you $20 a week. Let's just do the math for shits and giggles. 12,000 divided by $20 a week. That's 600 weeks. There's 52 weeks in a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's 11 and a half years.
Wow.
There you go.
No, it is interesting how when you get a chance to talk to someone, especially someone that's been through some of the things, that's kind of like cleared out all the clutter, and how simple a lot of the tools and things that we do have in front of us are. It's just, I think a lot of people get so caught up in learning from everywhere that it's really hard to separate it, to get back to how simple it can be.
It's just math. Most people make decisions based on feelings. Or how does that make me feel? Or how do I feel about it? Right. Versus breaking it down to numbers. Numbers don't apply. Mm-hmm. As long as your bottom line makes sense in the end of the day, that's the decision that you need to be making.
Right? Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we work for money. Money is numbers. So everything, in my opinion, when it comes to a business decision, need to be broken down into numbers.
Yeah.
That's why I just broke it down for you. If you hired one VA and that VA gets you one measly lead, one. But if he or she can do one a month, they can do one next month and one next month and one next month. But that one lead that she would get you by spending 4 hours a day and having a virtual assistant for an hour a day
mm-hmm.
would pay for the virtual assistant for almost 12 years working for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy when you really think about it.
There you go. Just have to stop and think about it and do the math.
So let me switch gears on you a little bit, because I really love what it is that you present to other people. And I love that you've expanded to other businesses as well and really worked on growing. And a lot of people that I've had the chance to talk amazing about you. So can I ask you, what does the word failure mean to you? Because I feel like that is a huge, like, problem word that a lot of people get stuck on.
I don't think I've ever said the word failure out of my mouth, to be honest with you, or ever even thought about it. Failure, in my opinion, that just means that you give up. There's no failure. I mean, who invented the light bulb?
Edison.
He said, I didn't fail at that, because it took him over 1,000 times to actually design the light bulb that it actually mm-hmm. worked, right? So he said, I didn't fail 1,000 times. I just found 1,000 ways that didn't work.
Okay.
So if somebody sort of said a failure is that, in my opinion, they just didn't try enough. They didn't stand up again and try another way and stand up again and try another way and stand up again and try another way until you are a success, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you think I made one post and like thousands of leads came in and I closed every single one of them and I made millions? No. Like you keep tweaking. You make a post. I'm like, well, that was stupid. Nobody even liked it. And then next month, I'm like, clearly, I'm not doing that ever again.
Yeah.
Right? But people, I think, also, they take things personally. Mm-hmm. Right? They look at it as of like, oh, I must suck at this and I should just give all up altogether. I think Tony Robbins explains it the best, that he said, how good were you at walking when you were born?
Oh,
you walked out of your mother's womb and just started sprinting down the road. No, you had to learn that. And in order to learn that, you have failed, so said, and fallen on your tush or on your face or on your elbows, on your butt, on your side, and your belly a million times, right? But you got up and you started again, and then you got up and you did it again, and you got up and you did it again. There isn't such a thing as failure. There's a thing that you give up. You didn't try again in another way.
I love that. I think a lot of people associate the word failure largely. Like I see it across different groups and different posts and things like that, you know, and people are always trying to change it and say, well, you know, failure is a good thing. And so I feel like
fall forward, and failure is just a lesson that you need to learn and then move on.
I do believe in that. I truly do believe in that. So I just, I feel like a lot of people get stuck on it because there's such a negative connotation that's held behind that word, which I feel like we put there in that place.
I never thought about failure ever, not once for 5 minutes. No, I feel like you have a lesson to learn.
Yeah.
Hopefully you learned it and move on and don't ever do that again.
Or it comes back around. I think I've been there a few times.
I say all the time that God throws you little pebbles. Those are the little lessons. And if you don't listen to the pebbles, he's going to throw a brick. Either way, you're learning a lesson.
I love that. I'm going to have to use that now, especially with my teenagers. That's going to be...
If you don't learn a lesson on the pebble level, you're going to learn it with the brick. But either way, you're going to learn that lesson. And that's when it comes back, right? Mm-hmm. As you said, some things just show up over and over again. And that's because you haven't learned a lesson. Because as soon as you learn a lesson, you will never do that again. It stops coming.
Yeah, very true. I love that. So now what would be your definition of success? Because I feel that's another word that a lot of people get really confused, or they look at success as what somebody else has. So how would you define that?
Well, I guess it's probably, I don't know if I ever really thought about it that deeply, but for me, success is freedom. Freedom to do whatever I want, whenever I want to, shut a company down when I no longer feel like doing it, you know, severe a partnership if I don't feel like it's serving me, open another company if I got a new idea, right? Having the freedom of not working a Thursday, Friday, right? I only work Monday to Wednesday. I'm very scheduled, right? But at the same time, that gives me freedom, right? Mm-hmm. Because I know that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I can do whatever I want. But I know that on Tuesday at 11, I'm on a podcast and I'm scheduled out for months, right? So for me, it's freedom. Freedom to do whatever I want with whoever I want to, whenever I want to. And if I want to buy something, I can just buy it. And if I don't feel like working for a month and going to the French Riviera with my family, I can. That's success, right? If I don't roll out of bed and I still make money, that's success.
I love that. I really do. Because I hear this a lot when people talk about success, and it's something that I've experienced with a lot of agents that I've worked with, where immediately when you ask them what success is, or what would make them feel successful, it's always a number. They immediately go to money. Right. And so
don't get me wrong. Money solves a lot of your problems. Money is what allows me to have my freedom. Mm-hmm. Right. Because if I don't feel like doing something, now I have to hire it out. Right. The thing still has to get done.
Yeah.
Right. I just don't have to be the one doing it. And what allows me to do that is money. Mm-hmm. So money does solve a lot of your problems. And I feel like success is tied to a certain amount of dollar. Right. Because depending of how, I mean, to someone, success might be a yacht and a helipad on it. And that's a totally different number than to someone's success who just wants to have a cabin in the woods and need access to Wi-Fi and just wants to live a free life, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like it is tied to a number. It's just that number is tied to the lifestyle that you want to live, whatever level you want to live on that makes you happy, right? But they say, one of my favorite saying is that you are, how does it go? You don't work a day in your life when you love what you do, right? I love what I do, right? I get to do it. I don't have to do it. I get to do it and I get paid for it. And to me, that's success, right? To be able to do whatever you want, whenever with whoever, and be able to afford whatever you need, to me, that's success.
I love that. And I love that you stated that your level of success is tied to whatever number which is comfortable with what you feel like matches with you. That's one thing that I do feel like a lot of people get really confused on is
not everybody wants Grant Cardone's jet and helipad and all that, right? Like, but also not everybody wants to live off of a an eco farm in Venezuela, right? Mm-hmm. So you're just going to have to see where you fall in that happiness scale and what makes you happy and how much money do you need for that.
Yeah.
And just figure out how you're going to make that money. And eventually you want to make that money in your sleep.
Yeah.
So you no longer trade time for money.
I love that. Well, anytime that I wrap up my podcast, which I've had a blast speaking with you, so thank you so much. I always like to ask if there is a piece of advice or a piece of positivity or anything that you would like to leave the listeners with.
Oh, gosh. my favorite quote is, if you don't build your dreams, somebody is going to hire you to build theirs.
Ooh. I like that one.
So you better off building your own dreams, no matter how hard it is and how many times you fall on your face, you get up and you do it again. And you don't do it the same way. That's a question of insanity, right? But you get up and you do it in a different way until you find your success. So for me, it was social media marketing. For somebody else, it might be cold calling. For somebody else, it might be networking. For somebody else, it might be buying leads. Mm-hmm. They're really good at turning that lead over on the phone. As long as you're profitable, what do you care?
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you again so, so much for all of your information. And if you don't mind, one more time, how everybody can find you, follow you, and keep up with you.
Thank you. You can just search for Gogo Bethke. I'm pretty much any platform, but also I started out as Gogo's Real Estate on Instagram, so you can find me there too.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Gogo, for all of your information and your insight. So, and for everybody else that's out there, I hope you guys got some amazing takeaways. And don't forget, focus on doing at least one thing positive for someone else in your life. You'd be amazing at taking that small step every day and a difference that it can make an impact on your life. So until next time, I will talk to all of you guys soon. Mwah.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review so we can keep the good stuff rolling. Got something you'd love to hear us discuss? Then be sure to message me on social media and let's work together to spread even more amazing content. And if you haven't yet connected with me on social media, be sure to follow along at Agent Services Plus. I'm so excited to connect with you on the next episode, and until next time, be sure to find things that help you learn, grow, and be inspired.